DW Africa Link.
June 16, 1976 was a tragic and sad day in South Africa. In Soweto, thousands of black school children protested the Afrikaans Medium Decree of 1974, a law that required that half of the curriculum in township schools be taught in Afrikaans. Now, this decree was seen as a symbol of apartheid oppression that deepened racial inequality and undermined quality education. Their peaceful rally at Orlando Stadium was met with brutal police force, where unarmed students were fired upon without provocation. It is estimated that more than 500 students were killed, with thousands more wounded or detained. 49 years on, are youth voices being heard or neglected in a democratic South Africa? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The Soweto uprising was a turning point in the anti-apartheid struggle and sparked a resistance that reshaped South Africa's socio-political landscape. This podcast was recorded on Youth Day, June 16, 2025, a national public holiday for reflection, remembrance, and a renewed commitment to the aspirations of youth. So are the aspirations of the youth being met today? Let's get more from Motlewa Jimlongo, Programs Officer for the Southern Africa Programs at Future Elect, a nonprofit focused on cultivating ethical public leadership on the continent and empowering citizens to participate in democratic processes through active civic education. I also have my colleague Nontoko Zumchunu, DW correspondent in Cape Town, South Africa. Hello, ladies. Welcome to the Africa Link podcast. 49 years ago, more than 500 youth were killed by apartheid police in South Africa. Ms. Jimlongo, can you take us through what led to that and how events unfolded on the 16th of June, 1976?
Sure. Thanks very much, Eddie, for having me. It's really great to be on the podcast today. Today is a really big day in South Africa. As you said, it is the 49th anniversary of the 1976 Soweto uprising, which was really an uprising by primary school students and high school students all over Soweto in the township, who basically came together. It was the culmination, really, that could be traced back to the introduction of the Bantu Education Act in 1953, which was an introduction by the apartheid government, which sought to really give black students within the townships an inferior education to their white counterparts. And so essentially we saw them rising up against that, as well as the introduction of Afrikaans as a medium of instruction. In terms of Afrikaans within the country at the time, a lot of the people that could speak the language were mainly white and colored students. And so the introduction of that as the medium of instruction in the township schools was really one of the things that really culminated into the students saying, you know, enough is enough. We are going to take to the streets and head towards Orlando Stadium and march against this. And so I think over 20,000 students took part in that protest, and it led to people being injured, hundreds of students as well losing their lives and being fatally injured due to live ammunition and tear gas by the apartheid police. And so it's really a day of commemoration, but also a day to really reflect and look back at the young people that lost their lives at the hands of apartheid police.
Right. I mean, just so people even understand more clearly, that was peaceful protesting going on, and the police still opened fire on these students.
Yes, definitely. It was students marching peacefully. They had a specific route that they were marching within Soweto, and then they were later met with fire by apartheid police in the form of both tear gas and live ammunition, which then, of course, caused the fatalities and the injuries that we now know of in history. For example, we know the famous photograph of a young boy who died at the age of 12, Hector Peterson, being carried. And so even young people like that who lost their lives on that day, yeah.
Right. 49 years have passed since that very sad and I don't even know what words to describe it, but since that incident, it's been 49 years of commemorating or marking that day. Do you feel that South Africans understand the impact of what happened 49 years ago today? How strong is that impact still, Ms. Chimlongo?
I think the impact is still really strong. I think for myself, for example, I'm a young woman, I'm 28 years old, but I was part of the nationwide Fees Must Fall protests in 2015 and 2016 that really sought to rise up against, the cost of education and the rising cost of education within higher education institutions. And I think that's a common thing, a common thread across the country, really, where young people definitely do have a good grasp of the issues of our history, of the lives lost, trying to, bring about change and trying to resist oppressive systems. And I think young people have a grasp on that. I just think there has been an overwhelming narrative of apathy, in a sense, but really we see in the ways that young people resist oppressive systems, in the ways that young people stand up for themselves, that they are really involved and they have a really good grasp of the historical issues and the impact of lives lost and what we're able to enjoy as freedom today.
Right. Nontokozo, you're definitely following events, how the day is being commemorated. Can you share with us what's going on?
Sure, Eddie. There are events all over the country, really, in different parts of the country. One of the events that I know is taking place today, where the Deputy President is going to be giving an address, is in Potchefstroom, which is the northwest in South Africa. And so that's where they're just going to be doing a commemoration of the day, as well as an arts exhibition there to remember the youth of 1976. And then you have events in other parts of the country where people participate in sports events just as a way to not let the day go pass without commemorating it, but also to conscientize young people today of what happened on June 16, 1976. So others do music festivals, and you find that in Soweto, for example, there is a museum that specifically curates some of these or what happened in 1976, and they have an event there or something happening, so people can go there. They can go on tours as well at Vilakazi Street, which gives a broader political perspective of South Africa, or history rather, of South Africa. And close to Vilakazi Street, by the way, is where Hector Peterson was shot. So yeah, there are different events taking place in different parts of the country, depending on where one is.
Right. So it's a day to really remember the tragedy, but also clearly from what you're saying, others take the chance to party hard, is it?
Well, I'm not sure about partying hard, maybe, but the most important thing in whatever the parties may be or look like is that it is to conscientize young people of the history of 1976 or what happened. So it may lead to a party in certain instances, I'm not sure, but it's less of a party and more of events that bring young people together to engage and interact with one another.
Right. I'm particularly excited, and I'm talking to two young South Africans. Both of you were not alive when that incident happened. So I'm just, you know, curious to find out, because normally, you know, these are things that the older generation will probably remember more and look into. So as a young South African, and I'm going to ask, that question is posed to the both of you. I'm going to start with you, Ms. Chimlongo. For you being, what, 28-year-old South African youth, what does it make you feel marking the day?
Yeah, I think there is a bit of, you know, a somber feeling to the day itself, because, I mean, you realize just how much, you know, your ancestors and your predecessors will have fought and will have lost to achieve the freedom that we have. But then it's also a moment to reflect on how far we've come as a country, right? And I mean, to this day, as a country, we still know, you know, the dire situations in our townships, both, you know, from a socioeconomic perspective and just from a livelihoods perspective, that, you know, for young Black people in the country, you know, there's still quite, you know, various challenges to navigate, you know, like unemployment, access to electricity, to water, to basic education and basic services. And so it's a moment to pause and reflect while we also celebrate the grave sacrifices that our ancestors made. Yeah.
So what has changed 49 years on? There's no more apartheid officially. What has changed?
I think there definitely has been a lot of change. I think it would be disingenuous to say, you know, that, you know, the country hasn't come far since the dawn of democracy. I think there are a number of freedoms that we're able to enjoy today and that we're grateful for. But I think what's crucial for me is how there's still so many issues of unemployment, so many issues of lack of access to basic services that people from across the country can relate to. You know, I mean, the government has done, you know, many strides in terms of unemployment, especially. There's a lot of youth empowerment programs that really focus on empowering youth with education, skills development, et cetera. But I think for me, a big issue that we still have is, of course, you know, corruption, issues of job creation, and so forth. And so there's still quite a number of issues that we still need to deal with as a country, which I think a lot of young people are making big strides. You know, young people getting into politics, young people running for office, trying to, you know, act against the status quo and resist the status quo. I think there's a lot of strides being made there. Yeah.
Right. And still on you, Ms. Chimlongo, again, trying to connect it to 49 years ago, of course, South Africa is now a democracy. Does that mean in today's South Africa, if young people, you know, have issues with the government and want to make their voices heard and they go out and protest peacefully, that is just very normal to do now, no consequences, and it's, you know, sort of business as usual?
So I definitely think in terms of how our government, you know, deals with, you know, peaceful protests, ways of, you know, participating in politics, we definitely have, you know, quite a lot of freedoms and rights when it comes to freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of, you know, protesting and just sort of displaying your resistance. Like I said, I made the example of, you know, Fees Must Fall in 2015 and 2016. And I mean, of course, there were still issues that we might have had with police. People were still arrested, you know, things like that still did take place, but certainly not on the level that it may have in 1976. And so I think we have come far in that sense, but it's still crucial that, you know, that kind of freedom still remains something that young people think they can do and that they still have the means and the environment to be able to do so, particularly when we refer to, you know, peaceful protests and making your voice heard in a manner that's peaceful and that doesn't disturb the peace for others. And I think that has definitely been kept to, in my opinion. Just apart from, you know, protests and things like that, I think young people have been very strategic, demonstrating their discontent with how things are run in the country in terms of, you know, how they show up at the voting polls. You know, we just had an election last year in 2024 in terms of our national and provincial elections, where young people, you know, displayed their voices there. And so I think in those ways, there's other alternatives apart from taking to the streets that young people have definitely taken seriously in terms of their political participation.
Right, right. So South Africa has definitely come a long way, which would be good news for especially the survivors of the Soweto killings. Nontokozo, you've been speaking to some of them, or at least following what they've been saying years after it happened. What are they saying?
I haven't had direct interactions with them personally, but I do know that they have been saying things. For example, Hector Peterson's sister. So Hector Peterson, Gojela would have referred to him. He's the famous guy that we see being carried in that picture that has now become the symbol of the Soweto uprising. And he was carried by someone called Mbuyisa Makubo, who was also a student. And next to Mbuyisa Makubo was Antoinette Sithole, which was Hector's sister. She is still alive, and she usually does the tours in Soweto sometimes, and people can go and see her and have conversations with her. But she also speaks a lot about the pain and agony that the anniversary itself brings to her and her family, because obviously for them, it's not just a commemoration just so that we know what happened. They know what happened. And for them, they lost someone they love. And so that is painful and that is agonizing. So that's what she said. And we still have people like Murphy Morobe, who was a student leader and later became head of communications in the office of the president, Thabo Mbeki, at the time when he was still president. Also have Zima, as far as I'm concerned, is still alive as well. He's the photographer who captured that iconic image that has now become the symbol of the Soweto uprising. So yeah, we still have quite a few of them alive. And of course, for them, it's a painful day. It's not the same experience as us, because we were not there. We get to hear about it. We get to learn about it. They get to relive the moment.
Right, which can be traumatizing, sad, but also maybe make some feel hopeful of the South Africa now and the future of South Africa overall when it comes to democracy and the ability of young people to protest in peace. How is the media covering all of this, Nontokozo? I'm assuming, you know, the spotlight is on the issue. What's being covered?
So a couple of things. This morning I watched on TV a live broadcast by one of our local media houses, and they were speaking to a museum curator, and the live broadcast was held at Vilakazi Street in Soweto, so close to where the uprising took place. And also there's a little, I'd say, a memorial that has been built there. So that was a very nice thing to watch. You know, people who have never had the opportunity to go to Soweto got to see that on television. But also just having that broadcast being live there was quite... it was quite something. And of course, we have what is happening, like I mentioned to you earlier, what is happening in the Northwest today, where the deputy president is being covered on our national broadcaster or our public broadcaster. And we have all sorts of other events that we get to watch, either on television or we get to read about.
Right. It's some sort of like Youth Independence Day almost, isn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah. And Ms. Dumlongo, I mean, we're talking about all of this because the youth then, 49 years ago, as you brilliantly elaborated on, they had issues with the system and they went out to protest against it. Today, you look at South Africa and, you know, one of the most industrialized African countries, but still dealing with a lot of issues, high unemployment, as both of you have alluded to earlier. We talk about, I mean, was it recently, we did a podcast about South Africa being number one when it comes to air pollution on the African continent. So many other issues, talk about energy being an issue, still coal is still a big issue. Actually, coal is one of the main reasons South Africa is number one when it comes to air pollution. So there's still a lot going on that young people, you know, are airing their voices and concerns about, and they want the change. For many, the change doesn't seem to be coming. But how are these issues being addressed now? And what has been overall the response from the government with the issues that the youth keep complaining about? Ms. Chimnongo.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times, for example, we still see a number of, you know, service delivery protests, for example. I think we're one of the nations with the highest number of protests really that take place in a year in terms of the continent and even across the globe, really one of the protest capitals of the world. And so a lot of people are still finding that, you know, in terms of exercising their political resistance and really having their voice heard, that when it comes to the medium through which they do that, protests really are still the main things. But on the other end, which is a lot of the work that our organization, Future Elect, has really been trying to push quite a lot of, is to have young people also exercise their voice in terms of civic education and running for office. And so a big pressing issue really that we've seen within our country is that, you know, as much as the voice of the youth is being prioritized, we see it, we have, you know, a national youth development agency that tries to prioritize the pressing development needs of the youth. But even that has its own issues, and even that has been criticized, you know, in terms of not having enough reach in rural areas and not having enough reach in remote areas of the country. And of course, criticisms as well of political bias or perceived political bias. And so there are those agencies, government agencies or government organs that have been put up by the government to be able to develop the youth. But really a big and pressing need is to see more young people enter politics and see their voice being heard in formal politics. Our National Assembly currently has roughly about only 9% of the people who sit in parliament being under the age of 35, which is really a sad statistic, really, knowing that the majority of the population of the country is under the age of 35 and are youth. And so even as we commemorate this day, I also think there's room to question, how else can our voices be heard, whether it's in formal politics, people entering into politics and being able to actually make the change that they want to see in their lives and in their communities?
Right. I guess the floor is yours for the young people, I'd say. Nontokozo, how optimistic are you as we wrap this podcast up? How optimistic are you that the strong voices of the youth will go much further than it is now?
Absolutely optimistic, Eddie. And I say this because we've already seen it. As Gojelo was speaking, I was thinking in my head, we've actually seen it already, where young people have taken up a stand. And this we saw in the elections last year. You would know that the ANC in South Africa had been in power since we became a democratic country, and they've always had the majority. Yes, there were years where it declined a little bit, but they knew that they will get the majority. But somehow the status quo stayed the same. And I think young people got to a point where they were just tired. And now that's why, for the first time ever in 2024, we saw the ANC getting less than the desired, 51% in order to be the majority, you know? So they had less than 50% of the vote. And it's because there were more young people going out to vote than ever before. So yes, I'm very optimistic about the future of South Africa. I'm very optimistic about what young people can do. And I think the future is looking good and bright for as long as we maintain and sustain this energy.
Mm. Or maybe increase the fire in there are a lot of issues in South Africa. And of course, it's not to say that automatically everything is going to go away. But as both of you seem to be sharing your optimism about the role of the youth in causing change or bringing about change, we'll leave it on that optimistic note. To be honest, the situation in South Africa mirrors the situation across many African countries, right? Very youthful populations, and the energy and the vigor from the youth, hopefully, is what will bring about that change that is very much needed. Jotelwa Jimlongo, Programs Officer for the Southern Africa Programs at Future Elect. Thank you very much for your time. Also, Nonto Kozumtunu, DW correspondent in Cape Town, South Africa. Thank you very much. South Africa's Youth Day is a powerful reminder of the country's resistance and ongoing commitment to youth empowerment. It also coincides with the Day of the African Child, established in 1991 by the Organization of African Unity to honor those who fought for their rights in 1976, including the Soweto Uprising, and to promote the welfare of African children. So are you inspired to continue the struggle for justice and equality in your country? We'd like to hear from you on this. So please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Your voice matters in these conversations. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.